Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista Smith.
Hey everyone, we love our Keep It 100 tribe. Thanks so much for tuning in. We just always love our time with you.
We have an exciting episode for you guys.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about something that I think is so important to everyone. In fact, I even had a dream last night that had to do with it, which I'll tell you that later in this podcast. But we're super excited because this Friday, just several days from now, we have a momentum night.
That's right. Our July Momentum Night, every month we have a gathering here in the Bay as we just believe God gave us a mandate to change the narrative over the Bay and really usher in a move of God. We're continuing for revival. There's a company of us. It's amazing. From all churches, all areas of the Bay coming together, really believing for a move of God. And it's been so special what's been happening each month. It just feels like we're going deeper and deeper and deeper. This Friday, 7 o'clock, they are free gatherings. Everyone is welcome. We want people to come. There is not childcare available, but we are welcome kids inside the services. We're just seeing God move. We have extended worship. We have personal ministry. And Sean is actually going to be preaching a word, a fresh word that he has for the Bay. And I'm just really excited for what he's going to release because it's powerful.
Yes, you do want to get there, invite some friends, bring some people out. We're going to have an anointing service.
Yes, we are.
So we're going to be laying hands on people, impartation. Come on. We recognize a lot of times on a Sunday morning, things sometimes get bumped one way or the other because of the clock, because of having getting people in and out of parking lot. We do not have those time constraints. We will go late. It will go overtime. We tell people, don't come there trying to be cute. Come there trying to get oily, because we're going to be oily. So this Friday, July the 12th, 7 p.m., it's at 644
Sierra Court in Dublin, California.
Awesome. Hey, tell us about something else that's coming up.
Yeah, you know, here we are. We're just a little under 3 months out, and we're actually hosting a million women gathering. And I should say we hosting. There's a huge group of women that have all come together and collaborated together. And it's really being spearheaded by Lou Engle. It's absolutely amazing. Jenny Donnelly is really also a key voice in this, and she is the Her Voice movement. And there's a lot of us that have been asked to really help be an ambassador for this movement. I'm one of them. And I just so believe in what we're doing. It's really gathering women for this hour and calling for a righteous women's movement and for the women of God to arise, for Esther to take their place. And Lou said something that's incredibly sobering. He says, you know, this is the last stand for America. And we really just believe as women come together, this is going to be October 12th in DC, Washington, DC. It is going to cost you money. It is going to cost you time. But I tell you what, as a million women gather at the mall in DC, I just believe we're going to change the course of history. I believe it's a historical gathering. I believe God's going to move significantly. And I just really want women to not only be aware of this, but to actually shift their schedules to be a part of it. And so we're asking women from all over the nation and the nations to come to America, to come to DC October 12th and join us. It's an all-day prayer event. It's an all-day women coming together. And of course, men are welcome. We want the Mordecais, because the Esther's is not an Esther without a Mordecai. So this is a family gathering. It's a family event. So we encourage you, make a way to get there and join me October 12th. I, among a million women, are going to be there, continue for what God's doing.
That's going to be so exciting.
Isn't that cool?
To have that many women and men on the mall right there in the midst of Washington, D.C., obviously a governmental in terms of the geography of it, and to be there for God and to see something shift over our nation. Lord knows we need it. And I really believe that God is raising up the Esther. So I'd encourage people to get your plane ticket. That's what you meant by cost. The event to be there is free, but you know, the investment will be you getting on a plane, you getting a hotel room, but it will be worth it. You know, Krista, last night I had a dream, and I think now it's very prophetic. I had this dream. I haven't had this dream forever. And some of you, once you hear the dream, you'll go, oh yeah, I've had those kind of dreams. I had this dream like I was back in college and it was finals and I was ill prepared for like the five classes. And I had like back to back to back, like the first day I had an exam, then the second day I would have two exams, the next day and the next day. And I was like the night before back to back to back and feeling a little bit ill-prepared. And I was thinking about all these tests and exams. And in the middle of the night, I go, here, I'm a middle-aged Black man and I got test anxiety. And I know that there are a lot of college students that listen. You're in your summer months. You're a little more connected to the last time you had test anxiety. But I think it was prophetic for this sense. And I told you guys that there was a dream because I felt like the Lord was speaking to me in that dream in that there are tests that we as believers and followers of Christ have to pass in this season. And not that God wants us to have test anxiety, but one of the reasons that anyone would get anxiety in the midst of knowing a test is, are you prepared? So we want to spend this podcast. We want to have this conversation. And what we're saying is that there are three tests, Krista and I sense that you have to pass in this season prophetically. And we really believe that this is important. And I'll throw this in too. It talks about in Ezekiel, and I love this Ezekiel, the story of the river flowing from the temple. In Ezekiel 47 in verse 3, talks about this unnamed man, but it wasn't a man. It was obviously a celestial being of God, an angel, or maybe it was pre-incarnate Jesus. It says that he went along with a measuring line in his hand, and he says, and he measured Ezekiel for increase. And whenever Ezekiel would step out in the water, if he went ankle deep, he was measured for increase to go knee deep by this celestial messenger. Then he was measured for the water to go to his waist and then beyond him. But it was interesting, he was being measured. I really feel like God is measuring his people for a move. In the same way that that celestial being measured Ezekiel for more water, or if you will, a greater flow, we're being measured right now for a move of God. And prior to moves of God, God is always measuring your life for the next move because God is a great steward and he wants to know that you have fully occupied what he's already poured out to make you ready for the next. So I said all that to say, we have three tests that we sense and these are important tests and indicators and it's a good place to check. Are you ready to go on to the next move of God?
You know, I love that you had a dream as we're stepping into the recording of this podcast, right? Because I think it so solidifies the importance of this message and what we're talking about, because we are at a really unique time within the Church of America. And I love that other nations listen to this. And this is probably true of the church at large to the nations, but we're going to specifically speak to the Church of America because that's what we call home. But we also recognize it applies worldwide as well. There has been a shaking within the church. And in the shaking, we've seen the natural progression of exposure, because when things get shaken, other things get uncovered.
Yep.
In that shaking, we've seen deconstruction. We've seen people walk away from their faith. People that I never thought would walk away from God are literally identifying as like agnostic or atheist now, or living a completely alternative lifestyle, knowing they're living in like rebellion against God. These are people I would have never, ever thought.
People are getting flipped.
So we have to understand there is a testing in this hour. In the midst of the shaking has caused a testing. And in this, I think, let's start with the first test.
All right, drum roll, here it is. The first test that it is significant for us to be prepared for, prophetically, we feel that the body of Christ has to pass, is the test of focus. You know, Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, if your eye is single, then your whole body will be full of light. And I believe the enemy realizes this. He knows this. And I'll give another scripture on that. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I'm afraid that as Eve was beguiled by the serpent, the word beguiled means seduced, so you two are being led astray from a pure and simple devotion to Christ Jesus. And what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth is your focus is being tested right now. And I want you to think about it and answer this question. Think about this question, ramifications of it. How do you stop a man or a woman with a project? How do you stop a man or a woman with a project? You give them another one. Mm-hmm. How do you derail a person's dream? Simply by replacing that dream. If a dream is a projection upon the theater of your mind, the enemy switches projections because why? Whatever has your attention has your direction. And so we always think the enemy's trying to kill us. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But if he can't kill you, and he can't, if you're walking with the Lord, I'm convinced, you're covered by the blood, the oil of the Lord. The next thing he'll do is he'll steal from you and he'll destroy. And the way he does it is that he'll break your focus. So I imagine that there are people right now listening, you're having focus challenges right now. Some of you are going through situations wondering why you're facing obstacles. But the opposition in your life is to distract you from your focus because the enemy knows that when you are fragmented in your focus, it dilutes your overall energy.
You know, That statement is so true. I think anyone that's listening could probably relate. When you have to focus on all this different stuff and nothing really actually has the soul gaze, you're just looking at all these things before you, whether it's your to-do list or the demands you're wearing or all the hats you're wearing. Yes. Come on, women, you can relate to this. Women are queen multitaskers, right? And nothing maybe gets the full focus, but everything gets a little bit. There's an exhaustion that comes with that. So the reality is, if you want to replenish your energy, you actually replenish your focus. When you get focused, you'll actually feel stronger. You'll feel more anchored in God. And there's a power that comes in focus that we have, I think, yet to fully understand. One of the greatest tactics of the enemy is distraction, yes. Right? And that is the arch nemesis against focus. And there's so many people that are collectively saying right now, man, when I'm spending time with God, when I'm trying to pray, when I'm trying to journal, when I'm praying in the spirit, like my mind just is going everywhere other than what I'm trying to focus on. I'm trying to focus on the presence of God. I'm trying to focus on the word of God. I'm praying through my prayer list. I'm doing all the things. I know I've experienced that of as recent, you know, you and I have been dialoguing about this and just realizing this is a demonic assignment against believers in this moment. Because if we're called to be, which we are, sons of Issachar, to know the times, what is the greatest thing that's going to pull us from knowing the times? A spirit of distraction. We're going to miss moments if we're looking in the wrong places. And so there's a divine focus that God wants us to walk in right now, that there is a fight over in our lives right now. There's a fight over our focus.
You know, I think about this. I think in football, obviously, you know, the defense is trying to prevent the offense from scoring the goal. And they do that for the full 100 yards. But when you get in 20 yards of your goal or the goal line or the end zone, it is in football called the red zone. I believe that real warfare, the warfare over your focus, is when you're in the red zone. Isn't it funny? Right at a point where Jesus is saying, okay, I got to go to Jerusalem. I could die. He's on the brink of it. And then all of a sudden, the enemy gets inside of Peter's thinking. He says, no, master, you don't have to die. And what does Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men, not the things of God. Jesus was in the red zone and the enemy was already trying to give, right, another thought, another dream, another alternative. And Jesus identified that one of the objectives or challenges in this focus test is that you have to begin to identify what are the distractions to the goal line that God is trying to get you to. Because here's the truth. Whatever has your attention has got your direction. Your longest look becomes your greatest desire. And the longer you look at the wrong thing, the closer you get to the wrong act. And your logic begins to justify it. You have to stay focused. And even as Nehemiah's on the walls, the Noadiahs and all them other guys trying to distract him, the Bible says he didn't come down off the wall and fight them. He did get a weapon in one hand, but he kept his building tool in the other hand. And I'm telling you, this is a picture of the fight of focus. You got to get your spiritual armor and your weaponry, the word of God, in one hand, but keep building the things that God is putting in you in the other hand, because you have to pass the focus challenge. Because if you pass the focus challenge, the important thing to understand in that moment is this, and I think it's so important, is that dual or broken focus creates insecurity and instability. So when you get through, what happens is this: only focused faith produces miracles. And God is about to release the miraculous signs and wonders, breakthroughs in your life, things you've been praying for, things you've been believing for, ways that God wants to use you. But only focused faith is going to produce the miracles that you're wanting in this season.
Woo, baby, that is so good. You need to preach that. There's a whole word in that. I tell you what, that is so good. And people need to hear this. You know, the second test that we believe you need to pass in this season is your fragrance.
Ooh.
2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16 says, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, right, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? So our lives are called to be a Christ-like fragrance. There's a fragrance we're to live with. There's a fragrance that is to change the atmospheres. But if we're actually a fragrance, then we need to do a smell check on ourselves.
It's so true. And Krista realizes this. Smelling is my superpower. Everybody's got a superpower.
It is, you guys. He has like the nose of like, I don't even know. You have like a super nose.
I can detect stuff. And so one of the things is all of us, you have stuff in your refrigerator and it may or may not have an expiration date on it or sell by this date on it. Typically, that's the one that's more prevalent. But the truth be told is that sometimes you don't know until you taste it. But I don't know about you, but before I taste it, I smell it. If it smells like it's old, rotten, smells like it is, you know, stale, or smells like it's like starting to mold, you may not be able to see it, but you can smell it. And I feel like a lot of times that we have to pass a smell test. That this verse that Krista brought up, I love it. It says that our life should be like a fragrance mm-hmm. to the Lord. And that's so important, because I think of another scripture. It's in Ecclesiastes 10:1. Krista, it says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and causes it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. So the issue in that whole thing is that dead flies are going to affect your aroma. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be on guard. We have to look out for this.
If we understand that we're called to be a fragrance of the Lord, then we have to look at what does that like look like in our lives. And it really comes from a posture, a 24/7 posture of worship. There, when you have a lifestyle of worship, and that's a gratitude, praise, declaration, we're standing on God's word, there's like a worship, an adoration, right? Of like, God, you're worthy. God, I get a partner with you. There's a sweetness in our spirit, right? There is a love that we live with. There's a gratitude. There's a peace, right? That's anchored within us. There's a fragrance within us because we have a life of worship that has a fragrance to it. You know, when I'm around a worshiper, I'm like, ooh, she smells good. He smells good. Like
yes.
What they bring, it changes the atmosphere. Like I know they've been with Jesus, you know. It's like when someone has character, you know, that adds to the fragrance of their life. When someone walks in integrity, they have a different smell about them. When someone living in freedom, there's not a double life. There's not hidden sin. There's a fragrance about them because they're trustworthy before the Lord. They've been found worthy before the Lord. They've been found pure before the Lord. There's a fragrance. And in a time where there unfortunately has been continued to have more exposure of people's past sexual sins and moral failure of leaders in the church, you know, I look at my life, I look at those around us, and I think this is an opportunity for us to get introspective and say, Lord, does my life have a fragrance before you? Because if I have hidden sin, if I have a double life, if I'm not walking in integrity, if I have areas of compromise,
true.
That affects my fragrance.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to smell like Jesus. I want to pass the smell check of heaven,
yeah.
right? I want to pass that smell check. I want heaven to look at my life and go, she smells good, that my life has a fragrance that captures the attention of heaven.
You know, I came up in the age, and I'm sure it's still the case. My grandmother, which if you've heard our podcast, you've heard stories about my grandmother, but she would come in and she would smell my breath. And, you know, I grew up, I wasn't saved. And the funny thing about it is I never smoked any banned substance. One time as a kid, I tried a cigarette and started coughing something crazy and thought I was going to die. I never did that again. But I actually never smoked any kind of banned substance or any other substance for that matter. But my grandmother would always cause me to walk in. She'd want to smell my breath because she knew that the scent of my breath would let her know the activity I've been involved with.
Oh my.
And I feel like so
That's
often
so good.
Your breath gives you away. Your
Ooh.
Breath tells you. And if you're a breath of life, that's what that verse talked about that we were looking at, is that we would be a fragrance to those who are perishing, we're a dreadful smell of death and doom, but to those who are being saved, we're life-giving perfume. And this is so key. And maybe if I could sum up, what is this fragrance test really about? And I think we're going to be hitting it, but I think here's the thing. In the midst of everything that's going to come at you in this season, keep it 100 tribe, listen to me. Don't get bent, keep your scent. Just remember that phrase.
Mm.
All the stuff is going to be coming at you. Don't get bent. Keep your scent. And one of the reasons why I think it's so important is that we're called to make a stand. But even as we're called to make a stand in this season, I think that some people are making a stance, but they're doing it in through ungodly belligerence.
Mm-hmm.
So their smell isn't good. And you see so much of this on social media. People are running out to confront the world. They're running out to do it. And I'm all with you. Stand with the word of God. But remember what Paul's statement was. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, fear, but one of power, of love, and self-control. And this great biblical giant, John Calvin, asks, why did Paul add love and self-control after power? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-control. So he asks the question, why did Paul add love and self-control after power? He answered, in my opinion, it was the purpose of distinguishing that power of the spirit from the fury and rage of fanatics who, while they rush forward, reckless impulse, fiercely boasting of having the spirit of God, they actually don't operate in love. And so I think one of our challenges in this season is we're heading up against, election and stuff's going on with both parties and who knows what else that we is unforeseeable. You have to not get bent, but keep your scent.
Ooh, I love that. You know, I don't know if there's really much more to say, but I will simply add this one thought. When we're talking about this test of fragrance, I just feel like that final thought for me, as I think about this, is in Acts 4:13, it talks about that they knew Peter and John, who were uneducated, who were untrained. The people marveled at their revelation, their wisdom, because they realized they had been with Jesus. And that is a verse for me that I think about often. Can people tell if I've been with Jesus? And I think that that is such a test, in the sense of that is what passes the test. Maybe that's the best way to say it. That's what passes the test. If people can tell I've been with Jesus, if people can tell I've been with the presence of God, if there's a fragrance about me, if there is an atmosphere I bring, we want to be able to live Acts 4:13 in our lives, that people go, wow, I know that's not Krista. I know that's not her own ability. I know there's a supernatural power going through her life. Like, I'm ordinary. We're all ordinary people until God touches us. And then we become extraordinary. We become amazing and incredible because of what God does with us. So there is this test of the fragrance that comes from spending time with Jesus. That's the way you pass it. The way you pass it is by spending time at his feet.
I love it. They recognize they had been with Jesus. Yeah. And that really is our challenge, because people, I'm telling you what, people can smell whether or not, whether you've been with Jesus, or you may have the smell that you've been at the club, you have the smell you've been at the bar, you have the smell that you've been on around HBO and Hulu, but you need the smell that you've been around with Jesus. The final test, you guys, that you need to pass, and we deliberately saved this one for last. And remember, just in review, we talked about you have to pass the test of focus. Your focus will be tested. Second of all, you're going to have to pass the fragrance test. And this is super key. But the third one is that you're going to have to pass the test of fire. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 speaks of kind of this eschatological end times like thing that many would call it the Bema seat or judgment seat of Christ. But it says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, it says, each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So it's letting us know there will be a final exam of the test of fire. But the truth be told, just like the American or European education system, is you have quizzes that lead up to the ultimate test or final exam. And I feel like the body of Christ is being quizzed in a big way. Sometimes you have quizzes so big in the middle of your semester, it's called midterm exams. This is a midterm exam, right? Now, a fire. And the thing is that, can you keep your fire burning in the midst of a time in which there's the fire extinguishers of modern life coming at you? Can you keep your spark when literally the winds of adversity are trying to blow it out? Can you keep your daily disciplines literally smoldering with fire when in the midst of it, someone's trying to douse the flames of your time in the Word time? And these are going to be tests, because the fire is so important. How you remain passionate for the Lord, how you remain in the midst of that, fiery about your purpose, but ultimately God's purpose for you is your purpose. How you remain fiery about standing for the things that God stands about like doing whatever you can to hold and maintain your allegiance with God and his word. And this is part of this test of fire.
You know, I love what you're saying, because you talked about you have to keep your fire kindled in this season. And this is your responsibility. I think a lot of times we'll rely on our church to kindle our fire for us. We're relying on other people's worship to kindle our fire. But the reality is, you have to kindle your own fire. This is you. you and God's relationship. And the church disappoints at times. Yes, the church is wonderful. I love the local church, but at times it disappoints, right? People disappoint you, although people are wonderful, but there is disappointment in life. There is things that happen that don't go your way. There's difficult seasons and difficult things that you walk through. But at the end of the day, you have a responsibility to fuel your fire, to kindle that fire, and to keep your fire burning. I learned years ago in my own life, when I was raised in public schools, and I went every single year to this, you know, family camp where we experienced the Holy Spirit and we experienced God in such a profound way. And I'd go home to my public junior high, my public high school, and I viewed myself like a missionary, right? All those years. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna evangelize my student body, and I'm gonna be an example for Christ. And then I went to a private Christian university, and I was so excited because I finally thought that I was gonna be with my people, and I was gonna be like everyone that was on fire for God and living for God, only to discover it felt just like public school. That there was, most of the people weren't fully living for God. They had a belief in God, but they weren't living for God. Ooh. And it was when I was in college that I realized, you know what? Because I was really upset about it. I was so disappointed. And I went to the Lord at 18 years old. And I remember the Lord said to me, Krista, this is you learning the lesson that other people's standards, other people's depth with me, other people's walk with God has nothing to do with yours. This is your choice. You choose how deep you go with me. And you cannot allow someone else's depth or lack of depth to be your gauge, to be your barometer of how deep you're going to go with me. That set a course with me from 18 years old that I have a responsibility to fuel my own fire. So I want to tell you today as a listener in the Keep 100 tribe, friends, there is everything in this world that is trying to fight that fire. Mm. And every day, water is being tossed on your fire. But every day you have fuel called your relationship with God to throw on your fire, to keep it not just burning, but I'm calling forth a bonfire over your relationship with God. We're called to be wildfires, right? I love that. Jesse Green wrote a book on the wildfire of God. And I
shout
love that.
You, Jesse.
Come on, Jesse. She's amazing. And she wrote about this wildfire. And I was like, I love that. A wildfire, you can't keep it. You can't contain it. It just lights everything around it on fire. You can't help but get caught on fire when you're around a wildfire. So as you're listening to passing this test, I really want you to understand you are responsible. And when you actually put the responsibility on you, that's actually a great place to be, because you stop giving the power to other people to diminish your fire.
Oh, that is so powerful. Oh my God, I was getting ignited. And I was thinking about all of the great martyrs that have gone before us, all the people that have laid their life down. They had to pass the fire test. I was thinking of a guy that John, the beloved, who wrote Revelation under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He discipled a guy by the name of Polycarp, and Polycarp would not deny Jesus. And he said, if you don't deny, this is back in the day where they would kill you, y'all. We're not talking about that they would just go on a tirade on your social media, or you might get embarrassed a little bit for standing, you know, at the flagpole, you know, and see you at the flag day. He was literally put on a pole, and they attempted to burn him at the stake. Mm. At the end of the day, they found out that the fires did not burn him. And I thought, what is the makeup of a person that would literally allow themselves to be burned at the stake? Mm. To not just deny Jesus. We're not talking about going out and living an immoral life or all that. Just do a quick deny Jesus. And maybe in some people's thought, the next day or even half an hour later, you could say, oh God, I was just kidding. Now I can live longer. This guy wouldn't even let the words come out of his mouth. And his biographers write that when they stabbed Polycarp in the heart, blood shot out of his heart like a geyser. And it literally went up in the air and came out and put out the flames. And I thought, oh my goodness, the Lord knows how to do the curtain call and bring his greats into the kingdom. And I think we have a biblical example of this in Daniel 11. There were three Hebrew men, and there was a wicked king that was reigning over Babylon. Babylon represents our modern culture. It represents secular humanism. Babylonianism is everything that would deny the true God, that would offer alternative lifestyles, alternative gods, alternative choices in terms of what is truth and all that. That is the Babylonian system. And so King Nebuchadnezzar told him, he made an image, and he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you three guys got a bow and they had to pass the fire test. Mm. And the fire test is what separates refugees from reformers. Refugees try to find asylum in the culture. Reformers change the culture. And your test right now of fire, maybe you're getting a little bit of persecution right now. Maybe you're taking on the chin. Maybe you posted something about Jesus and you begin to get people doing some clap back and a little bit of casting shade on you. Maybe you're standing at your workplace or you're hearing or you watch someone else stand for Jesus at their workplace and you saw the fire they came under and you know you got to make a stand. And I'm thinking you have to understand here is the truth of the test of fire. And it was true in Polycarp. It's true in the three Hebrew children. The fire on the inside must be greater than the fire on the outside. Why did Nebuchadnezzar, right as they're going to the fire, they made the fire seven times hotter.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. Could tell us, why do you think Nebuchadnezzar made the fire seven times hotter?
Well, I think it's like you and I were kind of dialoguing about this, right? And I think it really just showed his rage, his personal fury. He was out of control. So he was, in a sense, having a physical manifestation of what was going on within him. There was such a rage. There was so much anger. It was so out of control that he was like seven times hotter. And you and I were talking about this. It's like they would have died at the initial heat, right? He didn't have to turn it up. It's like he was just going to die almost quicker, you know, by putting him at the seven here. But here's what's crazy. It's like there is such a physical representation of what was going on in the spirit. It was like, no, you're actually going to pay the price. It's, you know, we're going to go all out. We're going to go max. And I love that God's like, you can throw everything you want to throw, but when my people are covered by my fire, your fire doesn't touch them.
Mm.
The fire of God protects us.
That's three snaps. I'm snapping, y'all.
It's like, I just felt like it was such a match of fire. These three guys were full of the fire of God. Therefore, the fire of man could not take them out.
That's so good. Oh my goodness. That's so good. And you know, he did it seven times hotter. And I pledged a fraternity back in the day. I'm not involved currently, but they would do psychological hazing. This was psychological hazing. But you know what? The test pulled out because, of course, we know he threw the three Hebrew children in the fire. Fire didn't burn them. It actually just burned off the ropes that they had put on them to bind them. So all the fire did was burn off the bondages. And maybe that's part of the test of the fire right now, is to burn off the bondages that the world has put on us. And then they got a revelation because the fourth man, there was a fourth person that got in the fire with them. So you know what it takes to get in seven times hotter fire? What it takes in order for you, Keeper 100 Tribe, to get and respond and make a stand in the midst of seven times fire is you got to be seven times crazy. And what I mean by that is that you have to have this focus, you have to have this fragrance, and you have to have this fiery, passionate resolve that you're going to stand for God no matter what. Because in the midst of it, what we have to do is, like they defied King Nebuchadnezzar, you have to defy a spiritually dead culture and not be ashamed of the gospel.
Woo, my gosh, that's so good. You know, I tell you what, I'm challenged even recording this podcast today, right? It's just like, these are the three tests, friends, and this is Keep 100 Tribe. These are your takeaways. You got to pass three tests in this season because we believe this is a time where God is measuring up his people because there's a massive move of God that's coming. But God is like, I want my people pure to carry a pure move of God. You got to pass the test of focus. You got to pass the test of fragrance. You got to pass the test of fire. Keep 100 Tribe. I want you to get some time with Jesus. I want you to take some inventory of your heart and see what's going on. Allow the Lord to speak to areas of your heart and in your life that actually, you know, are pulling you away from a place of focus or are affecting the fragrance, or affecting and dwindling your fire. You know, let's live a life that is fully, has a measuring point of heaven, where heaven goes, well done, good and faithful servant. Let us be found well approved by the Father.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at Sean and KristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you. So be sure to show us some love.
Hey, Keep 100 Tribe, you do not want to miss our next episode. So make sure to stay with us. Make sure to tune in. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram at SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.